And that's good news. We're going to see the King. Amen. The Creator. The Lord of all. I don't think that's something we want to sleep through. We're going to see the King. Just what is restoration? If you'd look it up in the dictionary, you'd find that it means to return something to its original owner, to return something to its original place, or return something to its original being, the original way it was. In August of 1989, Ruthie and I purchased our first home in upstate New York. It was a 90-year-old Victorian farmhouse in need of a great deal of love. And I scraped. And I stripped. And I changed things. I learned how to lay bricks. Put on a new roof. I stripped wallpaper and stain. And after a while, it started looking different. Especially when we discovered that underneath the drop ceilings was a turn-of-the-century tin ceiling in excellent condition. Over the years, we restored that house inside and out. The work of restoration causes us to focus on the one who does restoration in us. I can restore a house, and you know something? In a number of years, it's going to need that same work over again. It will need remodeling, it'll need repainting, it'll need renovation. But the one who works renovation in our lives does it to last eternally. Over these last several weeks, we've looked at this series, Broad Brushstrokes of the Bible. Today, we will look at the last theme, redemption. We've looked at creation, fall, and redemption. Today is restoration. Say those four words with me, if you would. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Again, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. One more time. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. My friends, that's God's story. And that's our story. We need to know it well. So this morning I'd invite you to turn with me or follow along as I read from Revelation chapter 21. Listen to God's word. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." No more crying there. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would hear it afresh. And as we do, Lord, help us to take in all that you have for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So why is restoration necessary? Remember the story? God spoke, and things began to happen. God was active and present and powerful and creative. Humanity was made in God's image. Male and female, God created humanity. They were blessed. They were given responsibility. There was no shame. And then something terrible happened. We call it the fall. Sin entered the world. And the man and the woman decided that they knew better than God. And they decided that they would be the judges of how life would be. The serpent was cursed. The ground was cursed. The man and woman were not cursed. But they surely felt the effects of it. And so what is in need of redemption? All that's been affected by the fall. Remember the list I read to you? The fall includes, or the fall has impacted the church, family, politics, business, art, education, journalism, thought, emotion, law, plants, animals, inanimate matter, management, leadership. And the list goes on. Everything has been affected and impacted by the fall. And because of that, the redemption of Jesus Christ needs to cover all of that. And that's what Jesus does. Restoration is possible because of the work of God in and through Jesus Christ in redemption. God is restoring the good creation. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." When we ask Jesus Christ to forgive us, and we begin to live our lives seeking to follow him as Lord of all, we experience the work of restoration in us. Wow. That's when our stories intersect and get interwoven in God's story. And God's story is, say it with me, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. God's story and our story. And when we know God's story, we begin to understand where we fit in with our story. And so what's being restored? The easy answer is everything that's impacted by the fall. But I thought it'd be better to look at some examples. The Bible is one book made of 66 other books. And it all points to God's story. Those 66 other books are all kinds of literature. There's history, there's law, there's prophecy, there's gospel, there's letters, there's apocalypse, and all point to God's story. God's story is clear. We just read a part of the end of the story. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from heaven. How can we read Revelation 21 without thinking back to Genesis 1? In Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. In Revelation, there's a new heaven and there's a new earth. Evil and sin are introduced in Genesis. And in Revelation, evil is defeated and destroyed. In Genesis, humanity falls into sin, and in Revelation, God restores people to the original way they were created without sin. In Genesis, a curse is introduced, and that curse is removed in Revelation. In Genesis, the people separate themselves from God, and in Revelation, they will live with God forever. In Genesis, people shed tears and no sorrow. In Revelation, God wipes away the tears, and they will know sorrow no more. No more crying there. We're going to see the King. In Genesis, the people are barred from the tree of life. And in Revelation, they get to eat freely of the tree of life, and it blooms lusciously. It's a different kind of fruit every month, and it just keeps producing. In Genesis, death enters the world. In Revelation, death is defeated, and people live forever. Eternal life. Eternal life begins when we ask Jesus Christ into our lives. We're living eternal life, the beginning of it now. Not in its fullness, but we started. In Genesis, the languages of humanity are confused and the people are scattered. And in Revelation, the people are gathered and they're singing praise to God together. All peoples, all ethnicities, all nations, all colors, all languages come together and worship the King. Everything is made new. These chapters of Revelation 21 and 22 are filled with words of relationship, restoration, and fulfillment. The New Jerusalem is glorious. It's brilliant. It's immense. I was trying to do the math the other day. Now, I'm not a math major. 12,000 stadia cubed. A stadia is about 606 feet. It's huge. God's city, the New Jerusalem. It's filled with life, with water, with food, with healing. There will be no darkness there because the Lamb is the light of the city of God. Wow. Wow. That's where we're heading. That's where we're heading. And there's some from our congregation who've already gone who are going to meet us there. Donna Murray and Judy Armstrong and many others who are part of that glorious city, and they're going to greet us. And I asked Judy to say hi to my dad before she left us. We're going to that city of God. I would invite you later today to read Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. That's where history is headed. It's God's story. And we get to be a part of it because there are four parts: creation, fall. That's our story. And when we know God's story, we begin to understand our stories. And we get to live in to the restoration that God is working. It's a privilege to live into God's story. But I think sometimes we get so caught up in what's right in front of our eyes and what's blaring in front of our ears that we miss it. But when we reach out in love, when we offer forgiveness, when we bring hope in the midst of despair, when we choose not to respond out of anger but out of love, when we choose not to use words that cut and hurt, then we're beginning to live into that restoration. When we come to this table, we are living into God's story. Because when we come to this table, we acknowledge what is true. We acknowledge that God created all things good and gives us everything we need for life. It's no mistake that we have bread and the fruit of the vine here. Things that God has created is good. When we come to this table, we acknowledge that we were created in God's image. And we also acknowledge that we've sinned and fallen short. When we come to this table and we eat of the bread and we drink of the cup, we acknowledge that Christ's body was given for us, that Christ's blood was shed for us and brought redemption, bought us back. And when we come to this table, we acknowledge that God's work of restoration has happened and is happening in our lives even now. This table calls us to join God in the restoration that's happening. It's happening right in front of our eyes. Last week, I shared the story of a police officer in Dallas who was offered forgiveness in a courtroom by the brother of the man she killed. God's power broke in. The media didn't know what to say. Nobody did, because that's God's restoration that leaves us speechless and in awe. God's grace, mercy, and love are breaking into this world even now. Every time a child with disabilities is shown care and healing is brought into their lives in Rwanda through Love with Actions, God's restoration can be seen. We see God's restoration in Liberia when a well brings fresh water to a community. We see it when children ask us questions and point to people who are in need and say, "Mom, Dad, what are we going to do?" We see it when teenagers choose not to bully someone else in the hallway of school like everybody else is doing. We see God's restoration come when adults choose not to judge or marginalize someone else in their lives. Do we see God's restoration happening in front of us? Can we hear God's restoration in our ears? Maybe we simply need to slow down. Maybe we need to stop, look, and listen. And if we did, maybe we'd see God's restoration begin to unfold right in front of us. Because this is our story. This is God's story. It's the story of creation. Say it with me. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And when we know God's story, we can begin to make sense out of our stories. Restoration, the act of returning something to its original owner, to its original place, to its original condition. Creation began in a garden, and it ends in a city, the New Jerusalem. All that has been affected by the fall all will be restored. We have been bought back from a life of sin to be the very bride of Christ. That's who we are. The bride of Christ, pure and holy, and in intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. God's people. God's people made new. To have hope. To have life in the fullest sense of the word. My friends, this is God's story. This is our story. And when we know God's story, we begin to make sense out of our story. May that be true for each one of us here. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for giving us the privilege of participating in your story. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to see, that you would help us to hear, and that you would cause us to join in the work of restoration. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd invite you to stand if you're